Some things you wouldn't mind being stuck with, like a huge inheritance. But a phone that has to be plugged in just right so it charges is not one of those things. Switch to Verizon and we'll pay off your old phone up to $800 via prepaid MasterCard for a new one on us. Just trade in any phone from our top brands with select unlimited plans. $829.99 purchase with new smartphone line on select unlimited plans. Minimum $90 per month with auto pay plus taxes and fees for 36 months required. Plus $830 trade-in slash promo credit applied over 36 months. Trade-in terms apply. Payoff phone requires smartphone purchase and port-in with new smartphone line on select plan. Must provide most recent bill showing payoff amount of eligible phone. Additional terms apply.
This just in, hot off the bench press. Planet Fitness has added new strength equipment. Save $28 or more when you join today, and you can be one of the first to try it out. We're raising the bar with new benches, and our new hack squat will have you actually looking forward to leg day. Plus, we're still repping all of the best-in-class equipment we've always had, with most clubs open 24 hours, so you can work out your way on your time. So let's do this. Join Planet Fitness today and save $28 or more. Just $1 down, $15 a month. Cancel anytime. Deal ends January 10th. See Home Club for details.
Hey, I see you're in a sling. What happened?
Well, first of all, the lid was really tight on that jar of pickles.
Welcome back to the Gillette Health Podcast, where we give you tools to develop a balanced approach for health. I'm Dr. Kyle Gillette.
And I'm James O'Hara, nurse practitioner. If you've been watching the podcast, you may have seen me in a sling intermittently. And today we're going to be talking about that. And what happens when you wear a sling for attention? Actually, that's not the case. I'll ask my doctor, what happened to me?
Yeah, I assume this was from you trying out CrossFit and then just your ego got the best of you.
Yeah, I don't do CrossFit and now I probably never will. Actually, that's a lie. I've done CrossFit 4 times.
I thought you did this bench pressing.
That's right.
And CrossFitters are notoriously poor at benching. None of them can bench more than 225.
And bench pressers are notoriously poor at CrossFit.
Yes, they are.
So, I wish this was ego lifting and a cool story. It'd be a lot cooler to say that you tore your pec benching 500 than tore your pec doing a set that's like RPE 6 or 7. But I tore pec flat bench pressing a set an RPE of 6, 7. And I usually don't do flat bench press, which is kind of frustrating. I usually do incline dumbbell bench because it feels better for my joints. It's a better range of motion, probably better for muscle growth. But a busy gym led me to make a grave mistake.
Yeah. And I actually do flat barbell bench pretty regularly. I feel like my training adaptation to it over the years of doing that has been relatively good. The downside is I'm not super balanced, so there's a lot of other benefits to doing more incline bench and dumbbell bench. But I think a lot of this isn't really anybody's fault. We love to blame people, but I don't think it's due to like a new supplement that you've started recently or something like that. Just happen to have that around. But like the analogy that I use with regular CrossFitters, the ones that are around and, they know how to avoid injury. They can't avoid random acts of injury. And that's what this was in this case. Just like a CrossFitter is like a deer in a game preserve that's just always alive. The hunters can never get it. You rarely cross into the game preserve, but you still incurred an injury.
Yeah, I'm the deer that like tore his pec tiptoeing off the game preserve. It's like, I'm going to get away from those guys. Those guys are going to get injured. Mm-hmm. And then this happens. And I mean, as far as adaptations, like in theory, my tendons and connective tissue should be more than adequate to handle that load. So like 5 years ago, I could bench flat 300. I don't know if I ever did 315, but I could flat bench 300. And within the last 12 months, I inclined 265 for 5 or 6 barbell. Mm-hmm. And then I was doing 245 on flat. Sets of 4 because I don't do this exercise frequently. So I was like, I'll just go lighter. Probably could get 7 or 8 reps with that weight. Third set in, so it wasn't like I was cold and not properly warmed up. And I basically knew what happened immediately.
Yeah.
So, I mean, I don't think it's like I wasn't adapted to the load I was working with. It wasn't ego lifting. Probably those pesky statins that I wasn't taking at the time of the injury.
But had you taken a statin before in your life?
Yes.
That could have been it.
Yeah.
So takeaways, If you had never taken a statin, this would not have happened. Also, one piece of criticism we get is we don't like people to be on the Wolverine stack 100% of the time. So if you had been on BPC-157, TB-500, and a GHRP all the time, preventively, we just like to use them to heal injury and for recovery. I wonder if you're on that now. Can I ask you that publicly?
Yeah, I'm not even on the full Wolverine stack now, but I kind of think of it like a pie chart. I think it would be unreasonable to blame the injury on taking statins for, 4 or 5 years, something like that. But I also think it would be equally unreasonable to say that statins had 0% effect on anything. Because there are a lot of case reports of tendon rupture with statins.
Yep.
So if it's a pie chart, I don't know, maybe it's a couple percent of the reason.
If only there was a lipid-lowering therapy that decreased your risk of ASCVD and was not associated in any way with tendon rupture or tendinopathy.
I wonder if my primary care doctor has heard of that.
That's
a little bit of a teaser.
It's called ezetimibe, by the way. Yeah. That's the only one. Anyways, so you're on partial Wolverine stack. If you were preventively on this stack before this ever happened, even though I don't think you had any overuse injury or anything, any warning going into this, if you had been on peptides and stem cells, would this have happened?
It's impossible to say. It's a thought that's crossed my mind. Like, oh, what about like a prophylactic course of BPC TB500?
Once a year?
Yeah. I mean, it's hard to say. Possibly. You know, the connective tissue would have been fortified. Possibly. I would have torn it and then woke up fully healed the next day. We don't know.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I suppose if someone is super strong and they're starting an activity like CrossFit or even a sport like basketball, although not many people start basketball for the first time.
Like a bodybuilder the Olympia, retires, and decides to go play basketball.
Yeah. It would not be a terrible idea to do a prophylactic stack of not just peptides, but a prophylactic stack of prehab. That's what Dr. Shallow is his name, talks about with the
or even keeping the intensity dialed back. Like when you entered CrossFit, you didn't start at 100% intensity every set RPE 10.
Correct.
You wanted to give yourself time for adaptations.
Yeah, I just considered a range of motion. I mean, I've lifted, probably 50 or 60% of my one rep maxes. In fact, this morning, my tricep is somewhat strained. So I just took things super easy, nothing more than about 50% of my one rep max. Still got a sweat in, whereas other people would see themselves as injured. I'm definitely not injured, even though I cannot do things.
Yeah, you have a lot of little not injuries. And if we're looking at, we've talked about statins, lack of prophylactic peptide therapy, lack of ego lifting, all as potential causes of this. Mm-hmm. I mean, the biomechanics is interesting to me. Actually, your dad, Dr. Mark Gillette, brought this up because I did have both my radius and my ulna on that right side fractured at one point.
Mm.
Had compartment syndrome in that I had a rod placed inside the radius and removed. So, maybe some of those angles are a little bit off.
Mm-hmm.
But I would have thought something would have appeared sooner, or I would have had a little bit of tendonitis there. Like, I know all about tendonitis. I high school track, Achilles tendonitis, both legs, bilateral. High school wrestling, Achilles tendonitis. Golfer's elbow, both sides. Even now, basically my whole lifting career, if I squat too frequently, if I'm like, oh, I want to do squats twice a week, bilateral quadricep tendonitis.
Mm.
So I know very distinctly what tendonitis feels like. I've never had anything in my shoulders or in my chest. So to me, that's interesting, but I do seem to be prone to some tendon inflammation.
Yeah, that is an interesting point. I guess the takeaway is if you get an adamantium rod put in your arm, then make sure to take the Wolverine stack after having that done.
So that it can't be taken out and becomes vascularized.
Well, I suppose, so that you can move it. That would be ideal, but of course, more so just to improve the risk of injury given the different biomechanics you have on your right side versus your left side.
Yeah. But that was, I don't know, like eighth grade or something around that period of time.
Yeah, it's
but
been a long time.
I also have a first degree relative who has, you know, ruptured a tendon. Mm-hmm. So I think that is another some percentage mm-hmm. on the pie chart we're sort of putting yep. together.
Now, we are trying to get the surgeon who did the repair on the podcast, and he is quite excellent. He's kind of, I believe he's kind of a micro celebrity, at least in the Kansas City area. But we'll talk about that later when we can confirm it. But I guess my main question is, was it a hard decision to make when to get surgery? Were you in a rush to do it? How long can you wait? And then were you also just tempted to wait until RFK is in? Because then you could have just done stem cells and not needed surgery.
Yeah, I think when that happens, very sarcastically, that there will basically be a flow chart, sort of like you have your approved therapies. And surgery will really be a last resort. I mean, you'll sort of fail your tier one and tier two treatments, which are like peptides and stem cells. And then if you don't get better with those, then you can have surgery.
Yeah. And we're being extremely dryly sarcastic about this, but we do actually think this is a good thing when physicians feel more at ease to do these therapies that are somewhat standard of care outside of insurance model medicine. These are extremely widespread therapies with immense amounts of anecdotal evidence. We hope that when there is a involvement with the government directly in these processes, that on the alternative side of medicine, they focus on the actual risks. Because I know on Joe Rogan's podcast, he was talking about BPC-157, and he said, well, it's a bioidentical natural compound. It's the same as GPC-157. So there can't be any risks.
Exactly. And that's why I started taking it.
So now, we've talked about the risks a lot. So on one side, there needs to be more talk about the risks. And on the other side, which is insurance model medicine, there has to be acknowledgement of the immense benefits.
Yeah, it has to be sort of a two-way street. And my stack for people interested is BPC-157, 60 shots in 60 days at 500 micrograms, not 5,000 micrograms, as may have been mentioned on a recent large podcast, and then TB-500, 2 milligrams twice a week for, it probably will be like 7.5 weeks, just under 60 days. Mm-hmm. No growth hormone. I don't have a need to really push up my IGF-1. It's already pretty good. And I don't know, probably took 2 or 3 shots of a GHRP in the past for a tweak, and it seemed to make my sleep objectively worse. So I figure, while I'm rehabbing, I'd like to have the best sleep possible. And as far as your former question about like the surgery planning out, fortunately, I was able to get in for an MRI quite quickly and figure out, like, I'd assumed that it was torn off the bone, mm-hmm. which is a much easier repair. And I'd already talked to a surgeon the day before I got the MRI. He was like, oh, yeah, you re-anchor it to the bone, get you put back together, pretty standard thing. And then I was scanning my MRI report, and I saw myotendinous. That was like the first word that jumped out to yep. me. And that's where you tear this, not the tendon off the bone, but sort of have this feathering and tearing of the place, the sort of gray area between the muscle and the tendon. Sometimes there's a tiny bit of tendon left on the muscle. If I recall right, I think my op note says there was essentially no tendon left on the muscle. Mm-hmm. So there may have been like a sliver, but not enough to anchor sutures and that kind of thing.
Yep.
So I have some cadaver parts in there. I think it was right at about 3 weeks post-tear mm-hmm. when I had my repair done, which I assume you want to wait for swelling and these sorts of things to go down anyway. But the literature would suggest that within 6 weeks, you want to get in. 6 to 12 is still okay, but beyond that, you tend to have some pretty significantly worse outcomes. But I have seen there's some cases where people will go back and get these repaired even years later. But I wouldn't recommend that. And honestly, the textbook answer for this sort of injury is that you don't generally surgically fix it if it's the myotendinous, because it's more complicated. And for the general population, risk benefit, most of them are not that athletic to where they're going to be missing that form and function and ability and strength. Mm-hmm. But, you know, if you have someone who has an interest in being like athletic and returning to baseline, or maybe someone plays for a sports team and a job requirement.
Yeah.
Then that's when you have a discussion with the risks and benefits with your surgeon, which, you know, to the physician's credit, he did mention the risks during the visit. I mean, this was a top notch by like all experiences that I've had. And I was able to get it repaired. So now I've got a cadaver part in there. I thought it was a tendon, but it's actually something called a graft jacket.
Yeah, with some biosynthetic material as well. I have a decent amount of questions about that.
Yeah, so I'm interested in how it compares with like tensile strength and elasticity compared to the native tendon there. Mm-hmm. I think it was still called a partial tear, but the majority of my pec was retracted to the middle. So I don't know if partial is like 50-50.
90% partial.
90-10. Yeah. Yeah. And then it, I don't know, the partial tear seemed like it was a bit of a underestimate. But then when you see like the word hemorrhage, like intramuscular hemorrhage, to me that seems a little bit dramatic.
Yeah.
Like reading through the report, it's like, okay, yeah, there was some bleeding into the like muscle area. But hemorrhage is like, I think of like a large volume of blood. Mm-hmm. I mean, I don't know, we can put some photos of the injury up and look at those. Like you think you've had a good chest pump, but you've never had like an intramuscular hemorrhage type pump until now. So if you look at the right side there, it's on our left actually. Mm-hmm. You can see it's already significantly larger. This was probably, I don't know, an hour or so after the injury occurred.
Yeah, that's pretty quick. Nice pump. The next one.
So the... Of course, you have the injury and you go to sleep and think, oh, you know, maybe I'll wake up tomorrow and it's not going to be bruised. And then I woke up tomorrow.
There is definitely bruising.
And there was bruising.
Pretty quick.
Next day.
Down the arm.
So then there is, I don't know, probably a week and a half afterwards.
There's some bilirubin. There's some biliverdin.
Turning all sorts of colors.
Yep. Verde would be the green part.
And then there's, it's probably a 4 or 5 inch incision there where they got things reattached. You notice I just get hairier and hairier through this progression.
You're dutasteride deficient. Good deal. Well, I think that pretty much covers it. Only other things I had to ask is basically how you stay in shape while injured, which we could talk about some in the future, but do you want to touch on that a little bit now?
Yeah, and you sort of alluded to this. You said you go in and you're doing 50%, so you get your heart rate up, get a good sweat in, feel good. Basically, as soon as I was cleared to sweat, that was my specific question for my wife to ask the surgeon. It's like, hey, when can he like sweat again, like cardio, get some movement in? I did that a week after. So I'm doing just basically the recumbent exercise bike, getting the heart rate up most days, probably 5 or 6 days a week. And then training legs. I can't really do the fun movements, right? So like barbell back squat, right? That's not feasible right now. But
kipping pull-ups, headstand push-ups, your favorite.
Yeah, that's right. No, but doing some unilateral upper body work to minimize atrophy there. Because I'm not...
Single-arm headstand push-ups.
Exactly. I'm not deep enough into the influencer space delusion that I think I can just take some omegas and sit in a sauna for the next 3 months and not lose any size. Because you'll hear people make these claims about...
Hyperbaric oxygen.
Things being anti-catabolic and preventing muscle loss when you're not mobile. And I still would like to train. So I'm going to train unilateral upper body, train legs once or twice a week. Volume is going to be down. Weights are going to be moderate because there's not a point to try and progressive overload.
Yeah,
upper body. It doesn't take much volume to maintain. So we'll see what that looks like.
In all seriousness, if we had a hyperbaric oxygen in clinic already, would you utilize that as part of the healing recovery for this? I know if it was a superficial wound or whatnot, you certainly would, but would you?
Yeah. Yeah, I think so. Better tissue oxygenation and, you know, not necessarily the blood flow, although the collagen matrix, the skin graft in there, actually can incorporate vasculature over time. So it essentially replaces the tendon. It's probably just a less good version of the tendon is what my initial instinct is.
Interesting.
But it becomes vascularized.
Yeah. For since it can be vascularized, do surgeons do PRP for this? Or perhaps we can ask your surgeon.
Yeah. I asked at the follow-up appointment, saw a PA there, and they were going to defer to the physician. They said, I don't know. They said, come and ask at like 3 months and then figure out if that's something you want to put in there, which I plan to long-term. Mm-hmm. So I think that's not going to hurt anything. But maybe not while it's in a more delicate stage of healing, if that makes sense.
But it does.
Would utilize hyperbaric oxygen if we had it as a resource. We have PRP as a resource, which I'm interested in using to speed up the recovery as well.
Well, that's good. I think that's a good summary of the stack and whatnot. This is obviously a Stryker product, so I guess we can blame them if it doesn't go perfectly well. Definitely not to do with your very active state. But yeah, you become more and more of a cyborg every day. So at some point, I hope to, or maybe I don't hope to join you. Maybe just Neuralink.
Neuralink, yeah.
Anyways, as always, write questions and comments in the sections below, whether they're good, bad, or ugly. We like to read all of them, and it helps the algorithm.
Absolutely. Thank you so much for your time. Thank you for watching. May God bless you with health and happiness.
Yeah, sure thing.
Hey, you sold that car yet?
Yeah, sold it to Carvana.
Oh, I thought you were selling to that guy.
The guy who wanted to pay me in foreign currency, no interest over 36 months? Yeah, no. Carvana gave me an offer in minutes, picked it up, and paid me on the spot. It was so convenient.
Just like that?
Yeah.
No hassle?
None.
That is super convenient.
Sell your car to Carvana and swap hassle for convenience. Pickup fees may apply.
This just in, hot off the bench press. Planet Fitness has added new strength equipment. Save $28 or more when you join today, and you can be one of the first to try it out. We're raising the bar with new benches, and our new hack squat will have you actually looking forward to leg day. Plus, we're still repping all of the best-in-class equipment we've always had, with most clubs open 24 hours, so you can work out your way on your time. So let's do this. Join Planet Fitness today and save $28 or more. Just $1 down, $15 a month. Cancel anytime. Deal ends January 10th. See Home Club for details.